Welcome to you all. An important day for our church with our voting procedure coming at the end of the service. However, Joshua has COVID and he is extremely distressed at not being able to be here to guide us through this service and the voting procedure. He has recorded a sermon that we can listen to as during the service, but clearly we will not be having communion as part of today's service. You and Glenn will be here after the service, probably around 11:15, to moderate the voting procedure. We need that legally, and that's a statement from the Church of Scotland. The vote will take place once Ewan has arrived, probably around 11:15, as I said. Please wait behind after the service to cast your vote. Your membership status, our adherence status, will be checked and you'll be given forms to complete, and there'll be a box for you to put the completed forms into at the end to maintain confidentiality. There are two forms, or two votes, to be made. One is whether or not you agree with the union of the churches of Blairdaff and Chapel of Geary, Clunie, Echt and Midmar, Kemney, Kintore and Monymusk. A simple for or against, make your mark, not your name. And the second vote is for the team in ministry, and you're invited to vote for or against, and it's called Clause 8, but don't be confused. It's about whether we agree that you and Glenn, Sheila Mitchell, Joshua, Neil Mayer, will be the team ministry for the United Church, should we agree that there will be a union. So these two pieces of paper will be given to you, and you can make your mark and put it in the box. There are other intimations to be had today, and the first that I'll read is again a plea for help. Buy the loaves and fishes. We certainly always need support at the cafe. And also the coronation brunch that's going to take place between 10 and 2 tomorrow at Loaves and Fishes. So you can continue your celebration of the coronation as if you didn't see enough of it yesterday, but there'll be a time to meet with friends and have a special lunch in the honour of the coronation and of King Charles. So in addition to that, there is the NHS Wellbeing Festival, which is held today, this afternoon, but also until the 13th of May. A week of free taster sessions at various local groups and clubs, and the Village Hall is hosting that. Good Morning Group will meet on the 13th of June, and it's always a welcoming group, and anybody is welcome to attend that service. Their other intimations have been shown on the slides. The wellbeing group is also an idea for an opportunity for volunteering. King Charles has asked us all to think of volunteering for something. However, today we have Rita, who's going to ask you something. Rita.
Thank you, Sheila. Yes, indeed. It's become clear to me that our cleaning team that cleans the church week by week, we're down now to 5 couples, which may sound fine, but if your turn comes round every 5 weeks, it's a bit short. So the team works in pairs, either after church on the Sunday when the church is warm, or during the week, sometime before the end of the week. I have spoken to some of our teams, and we all agree that it can be done if you just crack on a bit, between 45 minutes and certainly no more than an hour, because you're working in pairs. So if you would like to get together with a friend or somebody and volunteer, then it means our turns only come around every 6 weeks. Or if there's 4 of you come forward, you get the picture. Okay, it's very simple. Dusting, cleaning the loos, vacuuming the floors and the carpets, and we have various vacuums and rechargeable ones to make the job really easy. And really, you know, there's nothing to it, and it's every 5-6 weeks depending, and takes less than an hour. So if you'd like to speak to me or give me your name even more, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. The service is going to be led by David Bale today. And David, I invite you up to start us.
Well, good morning. I didn't expect to be here this morning. Not up here, anyway. So the Lord calls us to come and worship him, to receive his love, and to know his presence amongst us. So we're going to start our service by singing together, "You Are the King of Glory."
Let us pray together. Lord, whose glory fills the skies, Lord, who walks with us each day, Lord, who comforts and sustains us, we come before you to give you praise and thanks this morning. We thank you for the celebrations of our new King and Queen yesterday, and we pray that they will be able to fulfill the promises that they made before us all yesterday. Father, we give you thanks for this place that we live. We give you thanks for our food, our clean water, for those of us who are here this morning to be able to walk and come to church, and for those of you watching and sharing with us online, we give thanks for the technology that we are able to do this. Lord, we more often than not, don't actually walk quite the way you want us to walk. We forget from hour to hour that you are our Lord and Saviour. Forgive us, Lord, when we make our own choices without asking you and talking to you about them first. Forgive us when we are not the best we can be. We can be sometimes unpleasant, unforgiving. Lord, we come before you now, each one of us,
with our own things that we want to confess to you. We give thanks that you are a loving and a forgiving Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us when we come to you in penitence. We are in you ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. And to you we bring you all praise. Father, as we walk through this day with you, as we walk into this vote for our new parish and the team ministry, guide our thoughts and walk with each one of us today and always. Amen.
Thank you, Noel. Do you want to come in? Okay. Now, are there any children here? We've just got a few children. Oh, there's. Do you want to come down? Okay. Does Sam want to come over? No? Oh, that's honest anyway. Yeah. Just coming down?
Yeah.
So Matthew and Lydia are coming down. And Sam has relented. Hooray. Switched on. Yes, it is. Yes. Now, can I ask you, yesterday, there was something that happened yesterday. Do you know what it was? Do you not know? Did you see anything on television yesterday morning?
The coronation.
Well done, Matthew. Coronation. Now, what was the coronation about? Yep.
King Charles III getting crowned.
King Charles III getting crowned. Now, there were lots and lots of people there, weren't there?
Yeah.
Did you see the soldiers? Did you see soldiers?
No.
Did you not?
I watched it on TV.
Yeah. Live. Oh, right. Yeah. Did some of them wear big hats?
Yeah, they did.
Do you know what those are called?
Oh.
Yeah, bearskins. Yeah, people think they're busbies, but actually they're bearskins. Oh, you learn things every day, don't you? Yeah. So there were lots of soldiers. There were lots of guests. Now, did you know which one was King Charles? Did you know which one was King Charles? No. Now, did you know which one was King Charles?
No.
No? Did Matthew?
The one that was just him in the gold cart.
Yes, yeah, so it was him in the gold cart. Yes, or carriage. Yeah. And did something happen to Prince Charles that made him look very different from everybody else? When you was in the cathedral, or was in Westminster Abbey, now, where was he sitting? Was he just sitting amongst everybody?
No.
He was sitting at the front, wasn't he? And what was he wearing that was different from everybody else? He wore a crown. So if you were thinking, well, who's this man? Who is he? Why is he sitting there? And then he was wearing all these fantastic clothes, wasn't he? Did you see the gold robe he was wearing? And then he put on the crown. Oh, he had a crown put on. And what else was he given? Did you see that they were given various things to hold? He was given a big round thing with a cross on called an orb. Did you see that?
Yeah. And I learnt about it at school the other day.
Yeah. Oh, right. You learned about it at school, right?
Yeah.
And that signifies the world, okay? And the world that is actually in the hands of God. Oh, Sam's run away. He doesn't want to know about that. Okay, so he was given a sword as well, a sword of justice, and he was given all sorts of things, and it made him look like king. And there was somebody else there who was very important as well. Who was it? There was a lady.
Camilla.
Well done. Gosh, yes. So Queen Camilla. So if everyone said, well, who's that? Who were those people up there? I think everyone knew that they were King
Charles.
King Charles III and Queen Camilla. So if everybody asked, who is this person? They wouldn't, everyone knew, because they were given so much attention, weren't they? And they were given the crowns. And everybody cheered. Oh, hello. And now, lots of people in Jesus' time, they said, who is this man? And Jesus said, who do you think I am? And Jesus did lots of things. He actually went around healing people. He was teaching people. And he raised somebody who was dead. And people said, who is he? And some people, they said, I think he's mad, because he keeps claiming all about himself that he's God. How can he be God? He's just a man. And other people said, well, he's a liar, because he's telling people that he can forgive their sins, and only God can do that. And other people said, well, if you look at the way he lives, look at his love, look at the way he teaches about God, and you also look at everything that he's about, I think he is the Son of God. And so when we are going to be looking at the Bible this morning, and Joshua is going to be leading us in a recorded message, he's going to be asking this question, who do people say that I am? And it's a really good question that we have to ask ourselves. Who do we say that Jesus is? Do we think he's mad? Do we think he's a liar? Or do we think that he's the Son of God?
He's the Son of God.
Well, that's a really good answer. What do you think, Matthew?
Same as Lydia.
Yeah, so he's the Son of God. So it's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Who do we think that Jesus is? He's the Son of God. And he came into the world to save us, to make us his children, to make us his people. And that's a really wonderful story, isn't it? Okay, so as important as King Charles and Queen Camilla are, Jesus is even more important. And what is even more important is that it's said that they're going to serve as king and queen, serving Jesus. So he's their king as well. So he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, so thank you very much. We're going to sing a song now, because I've remembered that we sing a children's song after a children's address. That's quite new for me. Okay, so would you like to sit down again and we'll sing this song? Okay.
Thank you. kids' song, isn't it? But there's a lot of wisdom in that song, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
And, you know, as we've been going through this process of considering the possibility of forming a union of churches in our area, people think a lot about buildings and about the building that we come and meet in on a regular basis. And some people might associate church very much with the building. But that's not what it's about. And the reality is that we should all be together anyway, even if we do meet in different buildings. We are still part of God's church, the church that's referred to here. It's the people. It's not so much about the building. And I think that's something that is worth thinking about when we're considering this union, because it's a union of people. It's not a union of buildings. That's my thought for today.
Very relevant, Jim. Thank you. Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, reading from verse 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word this morning.
Thank you, Rita. It's funny, when I lead a service, I can usually choose the hymns which are my favourites. Well, I didn't choose the hymns today, but one of my favourites is the next hymn, which is "Before the Throne of God Above." And we're all going to stand and sing "Before the Throne of God Above."
Thank you.
sermon that Joshua has recorded for us.
Good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person for this service and for the congregational vote today, but I appreciate your understanding. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. So today we're starting a new sermon series. It's a new series which is called Questions from Jesus. For Christians, of course, we believe that Jesus is the living Word of God. So when Jesus speaks, God speaks. And so when God asks a question, we would do very well to consider it. And that's what this whole series is about. On a fundamental level, I think asking someone a question invites them into a relationship with us. And this is what Jesus is doing in each question he asks his followers and the crowds throughout his ministry. And each and every question was posed at a particular point in the Lord's ministry for a particular purpose. But I think that each question he asks is also meant to echo throughout the ages and is meant to be answered by every generation of believers. And this first question today in this series comes to us from the middle of Matthew's Gospel, from chapter 16. The broader context of this chapter is marked by themes of conflict, of warning, and a reminder. First, there's this conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who demand a sign from heaven from Jesus. Second, there's a warning from Jesus himself, following on from this conflict, a warning about false teaching from religious leaders that he describes as the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And third, this chapter contains a reminder that following Jesus will come at a cost. In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it." So in the midst of conflict, warning, and this reminder, Jesus poses the first question we're considering. More specifically, he asks the same question in two different ways. First, in Matthew 16:13-14, it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.'" From this first question, we can tell that speculation about Jesus was rife during his ministry. We know he made a deep impact on those who he encountered. We also know that people were actively trying to figure out where Jesus fit into the promised story of God's salvific plan. At the time of Jesus, there was a popular notion that just before God's plan came to full fruition, prophets from the Old Testament would return to God's people and bear witness to God's truth. And this explains why people were quick to associate Jesus with figures like John the Baptist, Elijah, or even the prophet Jeremiah. In Jesus, they saw God doing something new, something exciting, something with the aroma of salvation. And I find it interesting that Jesus does not really engage with these answers. He lets them seemingly sail by. He knows these answers are well-meaning, steeped in tradition, but ultimately incorrect. Instead, he reissues the question. And this time, instead of asking what people think or people say who he is, he aims it directly at his inner circle of followers. In verse 15, "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Now, we have no idea how much time passed between Jesus' question and the answer we read from Peter. Maybe a few seconds. Maybe much longer. I'd like to imagine that they gave it some deep and considered thought, maybe eventually appointing Peter to answer on their behalf. Or perhaps headstrong Peter blurted out the answer immediately before asking anyone else. In verse 16, when Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." Regardless of how they came to the answer, Jesus makes it clear that this is the right answer. In verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus then continues, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now this is one of the key passages, especially this last part, that's cited by our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters to justify things like confession and absolution from sin by priests. Catholics generally view Peter as the first pope, and so the authority Jesus gave to him is also given to all ordained priests in the Catholic tradition to bind and to loose. But this text isn't only for our Roman Catholic friends. It has meaning for us too. This question from Jesus and the answer from Peter make it clear that our ability to live as Christians, it depends on knowing who Jesus really is. To be clear, Jesus does not need us to confess his lordship, meaning he does not need us to tell him who he is. Even if every human voice fell silent, Jesus would still be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says as much in the triumphal entry when he says, "Even if all these people were silent, the stones themselves would cry out." So this question from Jesus, it is for us. It is aimed at us. It requires an answer from each of us. In many ways, this first question, "Who do you say that I am?" it is the fundamental question that each of us must answer in our lives. Our answer to this question from Jesus will determine who we are, what we value, and how we live. Our answer to this question will determine who we are, what we value, and how we live. And if we join with Peter and answer that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then this answer can and should impact every part of our lives. Friends, we cannot confess Jesus as Lord and then proceed to hold back any part of our lives from him. It just won't work. It's a contradiction. There's no such thing as selective lordship or selective discipleship. It's all in or it's all out. And answering the question, "Who do you say that I am?" implies that we have a very real choice with very real consequences. And every generation of believers, and every individual Christian must answer this question from Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, those of us in the church, we face enormous pressure to give some sort of half-hearted, inoffensive, PC answer, something like, "Well, I believe that Jesus is Lord, but I accept that other people might feel differently, and that's okay." Or maybe, "I believe Jesus was a great man, a great teacher, possibly the greatest who ever lived, Now, each of these answers, I think, would pass muster in our wider world. But there's just one major problem. That these kinds of answers, as well-meaning as they are not supported by anything we actually know about Jesus. From start to finish, Scripture proclaims that Jesus is Lord. It is uniform in this witness. It is unfaltering in this witness. It proclaims this and asks us our reply, and we must answer yes or no. There is no middle ground when it comes to the Lordship of Jesus. And for us as Christians, silence is not an option either. Who do you say that I am? This is the bedrock question. Our answer to this question is the basis of everything we say, do, and think as Christians. In just a little while, we're going to have a congregational vote here in the Kirk. This will be a decision about the future structure and scope of our ministry. As with every other part of the Christian life, how we answer the ballot questions about the basis of union, it should be informed by this first question from Jesus. Who do you say that I am? This question reminds us that we vote on the basis of discipleship and faith. We should not vote based on fear, on our own desires, on the past, on what has I been, or even on what might happen in the future. Instead, any vote we take, whether a yes or a no, it should be an earnest attempt to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. Every single one of us is called to a life of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Every day we have is a gift from God. When we wake up each day, we are posed with this fundamental question, who do you say that I am? Every day presents us with an opportunity to affirm our faith in Jesus, even if we haven't done so before. No matter what has come before, this first question from Jesus invites each of us to have a fresh start with God. So if today, if you feel or hear God knocking on the door of your life, don't ignore it. Don't push it away. Instead, take the time to listen. Take the time to sit with a question. Take the time to sit with Scripture, to prayerfully read it, to consider its message with fresh eyes, open ears, and a willing heart. Even now, ask the Holy Spirit to help us answer this first question from Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Every day, may God help us to answer rightly, to believe fully. And may God help us live out our answer in every part of our lives. Amen.
I say thank you, Joshua, for that really very powerful message. We're now going to sing At the Name of Jesus, and as we know, Jesus is our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So we're going to sing At the Name of Jesus.
Oh,
now come to our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you, our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We praise you that you came to this world to bring us life and bring us life to the full. And you came to bring us life to the full through your death on the cross. Lord, when we ask the question, who is Jesus? When we look to the cross, we look to your death and your resurrection. We know that you are the Son of God. Only the Son of God could die for us. Only the Son of God could make us one with God. Only the Son of God could make us your children and give us that hope of eternal life. We praise you for coming into the world for us. And yet we see a world in turmoil. We see the world where there is so much violence, so much distress, so much hopelessness. Yet in the midst of this world, we see your grace and hope working. And Lord, we do pray that as your people, we will be messengers of that hope. That Lord, as each morning, we are convinced of your Lordship, help us to share that love and that truth and that hope with those around us, in practical ways as well as in words. And Lord, we do pray for our own country. We thank you for the coronation of King Charles and Queen Camilla yesterday. We pray that their reign will be marked by adherence to the promises that they made in the Abbey yesterday morning. We pray that they will reign with wisdom and humility and leadership, and that they will promote justice and compassion for all across the UK and across the Commonwealth. And Lord, we pray for so many other parts of the world. We pray for the people of Rwanda who've been suffering from flooding and landslides due to very heavy rain. And we pray for the people of Asia suffering a severe heat wave, prompting fears of drought and famine. We pray for protection for the people who have been affected. We pray for relief for those who are suffering the consequences. And Lord, we pray for those who are bringing that aid. And we pray that Christians across the world will promote an urgent and sustained effort to avert the climate emergency. And we pray for wisdom and humility for world leaders and leadership in giving the climate and biodiversity crises the priority attention they demand. May your church across the world speak out to bring environmental justice to this wonderful planet and to all its diversity of life. Lord, we pray for our family in sub-Saharan Africa as they weep over the devastation caused by militants and armed groups. May they know that you weep with them. Uphold and encourage them, guard them from harm, and meet their every need. Thwart all wicked plans, snuff out the threat of extremist groups, and lead those who persecute Christians to repentance and the knowledge of your redeeming love. Equip governments and security forces across the world to counter growing insecurity and to bring peace and stability to nations fraught with violence. And Lord, we also pray for an end to the conflict in Sudan. Convict the generals of the harm that they are inflicting on the Sudanese people. And we pray that you will bring peace and reconciliation in a situation that seems beyond reconciliation to us. We pray for protection for your church in Sudan and pray against the risk of Islamists taking advantage of the turmoil. Be with them, Lord. And also, Lord, we pray for Lebanon, a country which is racked by so much insecurity and such a poor government. We pray for peace there. We pray for the economy. We pray for a strong and just government. And we pray against the factionalism. We pray for all your people there who must be desperate. We pray for the people of Minyara Church, and we pray that you will use them, give them your comfort, give them your strength, your wisdom, and Lord, your spirit to fill them, to be light and hope to their communities. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, our Lord. We thank you that we can put our trust in you. And Lord, as we vote in the ballot this morning, we pray that we will follow your leadership. And we thank you that this church is your church, it is not ours. And Lord, we thank you that you have plans for us. You have great plans. Help us to listen to you, to follow you, and do so in faith, that you will be glorified amongst us and glorified amongst our community across the Benihi churches and indeed across Britain and across the world. May we follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our last song now, All My Days. Vote or the ballot after the service, so we'll have to wait until Ewan gets here, but please do avail yourselves of tea or coffee and a chat while we wait for him, but please don't just rush off. It is really important to have as many people vote as possible, please. But Lord, we thank you for your blessing on us. We thank you for reminding us of who you are. We thank you for the amazing mercy, the amazing love which brought you here. Lord, we ask that you will go with us into this week. May we know you as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings in every aspect of our lives. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.